Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Spellman. Welcome to What Women Must Know. It's great having you join me again because this is the place to have profound, in-depth conversations about topics that are really important for you to understand. Because the more we expand our awareness, the more empowered we are to make informed decisions and choices in our lives. And today is another opportunity to get a wonderful conversation that absolutely will expand your horizons and I trust will have a profound impact on your life, and the information we share will also impact the lives of many of your friends and family members. Today we're going to be talking to Dr. Hyla Katz. Hyla is a board-certified psychiatrist and nationally recognized expert on integrative medicine. She has appeared on the Dr. Oz Show, The View, numerous radio shows, and is widely quoted in national magazines. Dr. Katz is also author of several popular books, including The Addicted Brain and How to Break Free, Natural Highs, and 8 Weeks to Vibrant Health. She has also developed specialized nutritional supplements for addiction recovery, as well as for enhancing mind, mood, and energy. We're going to be exploring the world of the addicted brain. We're going to be exploring the impact of prescription drugs such as SSRIs or antidepressants, minor tranquilizers such as Xanax, and we're also going to be talking about sugar, caffeine, and alcohol, and even tobacco. We're going to be exploring the dangers, the risks of these medications and these addictive substances, the ways to help withdraw off of them, and natural solutions so we don't even have to go on them, or natural ways to help us transition off of some of the addictive substances such as caffeine and alcohol, and even tobacco. So a lot of important information to explore and to discuss today. So to begin, first of all, I'd like to welcome Dr. Hyla Katz to the show. Hello, Hyla.
Hi, Cheryl. Nice to be here.
Well, it's such a pleasure to have you with me today. You always have such wealth of information, and this is a topic that I am very passionate about. I just want to share a little story to help my listeners understand why this is absolutely a topic that I want to explore in great depth. I had a very close family member who was prescribed antidepressants to help with pain. And he was put on the medication. He was on it for 4 weeks. On the 5th week, they raised his dose. And he woke up one morning after this dose was raised to discover when he looked in the mirror that his face was totally bloody. His eye was swollen shut. It was red. It was black and blue. He had immense pain in his rib cage. Was immediately sent to the hospital. By the way, he looked in the mirror, had no idea what had happened. It's like you wake up and you're living this alternate reality where you go to bed fine and you wake up like someone had just beaten the heck out of you. He went to the hospital, was diagnosed with 3 fractured ribs. He had major cuts and bruises, swellings, minor concussion, and had no recollection whatsoever of what happened to him. He was immediately taken off his antidepressant and spent several days in the hospital recovering. What was eventually discovered was that he had fallen down a flight of steps into the basement, which he had, and to this day has no recollection of, could have killed himself, literally broken his neck, and he had no idea how it happened. He was sleepwalking. So this is why I just feel it's so important to have dedicated practitioners like you, Hyla, who are willing to tell the truth and also share solutions to help us understand just how dangerous and risky these drugs are. So anyway, that's my preamble and my soapbox about this. Let's talk about antidepressants to start off with. What are they? What do they do in the brain, and what are the risks and dangers associated with them?
Okay, the most common antidepressants are the SSRIs, the selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, and that's a long word for a pill that is supposed to help you raise serotonin in the brain. In fact, what it does is it fools your brain for a little while into raising serotonin, but then you basically run out of serotonin because it doesn't give you the raw materials. But be that as it may, the bottom line is they stop working after a while. They may not be working altogether, and they may be largely placebos with side effects, and some of them very, very serious. So I'll backtrack here with some actual science, some actual research. And to begin with, when I talked about a placebo with side effects, there was a meta-analysis. So that is, they take several studies. They took 718 patients in six different studies. There were six placebo-controlled double-blind studies. That's the gold standard, which was comprised of 718 patients that were all on SSRIs for a minimum of 6 weeks. And the results were, these are the results in these peer-reviewed articles, that most of the patients didn't do any better than had they been on placebo, except for the ones with severe depression, and those fared a little better. So mild to moderate depression, pretty much the same as placebo, but a placebo with side effects. So we can move on to, do you want to hear about what the side effects are?
Yes, let's hear about the side effects, please.
First of all, one of the effects is that you may not get the exact response that you want. You may not get a response at all. Weight gain is a major, major problem because it affects your insulin, how your body is handling insulin, and it creates what's called insulin resistance and actually can lead to metabolic syndrome and even type 2 diabetes. So you start off with some depression and you end up being overweight and diabetic. I don't know that that's a great trade-off, especially for something that you're not sure is even working. There was a study that showed that one of the SSRIs may be associated with increased incidence of breast cancer, both in men and women. Okay, that's a high price to pay. And sexual side effects. A lot of people are taking the SSRIs and notice that they just don't have any more libido and that they're sexual performance, both men and women, is just gone. So, again, a really high price to pay. And then there's some really serious ones, like suicides and homicides. When you look at the mass murders, the shooters, you know, the shooters in schools, yes, and in companies, they are all people who have been recently put on SSRIs or some sort of psychotropic drug that is a, you know, heavy-duty drug that affects the brain. They've either been put on it, had their dose raised, had their dose changed. Something is usually going on with these medications and the person's brain. These are often people that don't have a lot of violence, or they may be a little violent or a little angry, but they are put on the medication and they suddenly become out of their mind violent and really psychotically so, or they lack judgment. Suicides have occurred in people that were not previously suicidal. And you have to be very, very careful when you're prescribing these medications, if you prescribe them at all, because of the serious issues. And there's also nutrient depletions. We need B vitamins, for example, in order to have a good mood, in order to make neurotransmitters. Well, the psychotropic drugs, including the SSRIs and the antipsychotic drugs, actually deplete B vitamins, including folic acid and B12. They also deplete CoQ10. I talk about that in my Supplement Your Prescription book, how if you're on any drug, you have to be really careful about what nutrient you're depleting and to make sure you're taking that nutrient so that you don't become depleted as a result of taking the drug. So those are some of the bad effects that you get from these drugs.
You know, I was always surprised when I looked at the contraindications and side effects from SSRIs, that they always say side effects, depression, anxiety, insomnia, and low libido. And those are the minor side effects. And then we get into the more serious ones that you talked about, as suicide, suicidal ideation, acting out, homicidal. You know, there are more vets who died from suicide than who died in the Iraqi and Afghani wars. And all these vets are put put on SSRIs when they go to the VA hospital for their post-traumatic stress syndrome or whatever. So, you know this, I know this, but boy, why don't the doctors know? Why isn't the mainstream media looking at this? It's never addressed. It's never talked about.
I know. I actually wrote a Huffington Post blog about this. Is it drugs, not guns, causing the violence?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
This is the issue. It's not about the guns. I mean, I'm not in favor of people having easy access to guns. I think they're not particularly safe in a lot of people's hands. But beyond that, it's the people whose minds are distorted by these medications in whose hands the guns are particularly fatally dangerous.
Absolutely. And then we have the SSRIs being prescribed to women who have menopause symptoms, PMS symptoms. Now, this is really shocking to me that we are putting women with hormonal imbalances that really are symptoms of underlying deficiencies and stresses on these very dangerous drugs. Like you said earlier, they could be a cause of breast cancer. They can contribute to breast cancer, contribute to being overweight and diabetic. This, to me, is, unbelievable. Immoral, unconscionable to even understand how this could be done.
Well, it's not a surprise. I'm a physician. I can certainly write prescriptions. And actually, when I'm helping people get off of medication, which I do, and I use supplements in the process, so when I'm helping people get off medications, I have the ability to write a prescription for gradually decreasing doses. And occasionally, I may use a medication for some reason or other, but I do it very carefully, very judiciously, being very aware of the side effects and weighing whether it's the best idea to do it. Like if someone really needs an antibiotic, to make sure to follow it up with probiotics. Now, I'm not writing a lot of antibiotics anyway because I'm a psychiatrist, but once you're a functional medicine or holistic psychiatrist, integrative psychiatrist, or however you want to term it, you're really doing everything. I'm treating gastrointestinal issues and cardiac issues, and it's all related. We don't just stop at the neck. So I'm treating and being very careful about prescriptions, unlike, unfortunately, the rest of the medical profession, except for the colleagues of mine who are also following a more holistic approach.
We need more of you, that's for sure, because there are so many natural ways we can address the issues of depression, anxiety, PMS, and this concocted condition called PMDD, which is nothing more than, I wrote about this, so I investigated it. This premenstrual dysphoric disorder is a diagnosis that SSRIs are recommended for, but it was created totally to sell more of Prozac, to be honest, which to me is horrifying. So I want to ask you a really important question. What do people need to know about weaning off these drugs? And I think we have to emphasize they have to be weaned off properly. You can't go cold turkey. And maybe we can talk about that whole issue.
Absolutely. It's important to go off gradually. But when you're going off with the help of supplements, you can go off more quickly than if you're just doing it totally, just allowing your brain to recreate the neurotransmitters. Part of the difficulty is you get such a rebound when you go off of these medications because they've actually altered your brain chemistry and you don't have enough serotonin. For example, with the SSRIs, your brain has been readjusted, let's say. So when you go off, it's as if your brain is very, more deficient in serotonin than it was when you started. So it's very important to add in a precursor, add in some raw materials that will help make serotonin so your brain can have that supply and not go into drug withdrawal. And, in fact, that's what you should have been on in the first place, something that 5-hydroxytryptophan or tryptophan together with some B vitamins, and that would make the serotonin that would help with PMS, that would help with depression, help with many of the issues, appetite control, for which women are put on SSRIs.
That's so important to understand that these drugs, the SSRIs particularly, a lot of people think they are creating more serotonin, like introducing more serotonin into the brain if they have a deficiency, but they actually just keep circulating the little bit that you have and impairs the whole metabolic process serotonin, which should be turning into other things, which doesn't do a very good job, which is why you have insomnia and low libido and bad dreams and things. So we need to slowly wean off of it. So let me ask you this question. Can you just cut that pill in half, or, you know, kind of shave off this? How do you wean off of it?
You ask your prescribing doctor for a lower dose. So if you're on, say, 40 milligrams of Prozac, you go down to 30 and then 20 and then 10, then 5. And it does come in lower doses. And in some cases, when you get to the much lower doses, if it's a tablet, you can cut it in half. And there are SSRIs that are tablets. Most of them are capsules, though.
Right.
So it's a bit of a different issue. One way to do it, if you have a capsule and you can't get a smaller dose, is you dilute the full dose in water and a measured amount of water. So let's say you put it in 4 ounces, so you take 2 ounces one day and 2 ounces the other day, because it'll stay in solution. So that's one option. The other is, if you're going to get some very small doses, because some people, when they get down to the low doses, start to still experience withdrawal, then you would use a liquid. On the other hand, I do have to say that when people are taking some nutritional supplements to help with the weaning process, it'll often neutralize or forestall or prevent these withdrawal from happening. So you take the 5-HTP or tryptophan, and you take that away from the drug, because this is the theoretical possibility of serotonin syndrome, which I haven't seen. I haven't seen serotonin syndrome when you combine the amino acid 5-HTP or tryptophan with an SSRI, but to be on the safe side, you should take them at least 2 or 3 hours apart from each other. So that's one of the things to do. And also add essential fatty acids. They're very important, because often when you're going off these drugs, you have what's called brain zaps. It feels like an electric current in your brain. And when people tell this to their psychiatrist, they say, oh, that'll go away, or they think, they kind of don't quite believe them. But it's very much a part of withdrawal, and it has to do with how your brain is firing and misfiring as you withdraw. And going on the fish oil, which you should be taking anyway, the fish oil helps to stabilize the cell membrane, brain cell membrane, and stops that awful feeling of electricity shooting through your brain.
Wow. So people actually have that sensation of like shocks going on in their brain?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we call them brain zaps.
Wow. Are they uncomfortable? Are they painful? Or just?
They're not so much painful as weird and creepy and like, oh my God, what's wrong? Maybe I need to go back on the pill. I mean, and that's kind of, that's what happens to a lot of people. It's really, really sad. What they're experiencing is withdrawal, but what their doctor tells them is, that's just showing that you really need to be on the drug. I told you, you know, this is, I'm quoting, I told you needed to stay on the drug. So don't listen. That is withdrawal. You take the supplements, and that they help a great deal. I mean, I use my brain recovery packets a lot when I'm helping people get off of meds, because it also contains other amino acids that help to balance the whole neurotransmitter orchestra. You know, just like hormones are an orchestra, so are the neurotransmitters, the serotonin, dopamine, norepinephrine, acetylcholine, histamine. They all are in a very delicate balance with each other. And when you upset one, you're going to shift the relationship with the others. So it's important when you're restoring your amino acids and your neurotransmitters to really do more than just take that one, you know, if it's an SSRI, to just take 5-HTP. Now, I have to say people have successfully gotten off their meds just using 5-HTP and some B vitamins, but I recommend being more thorough in taking, for example, my Brain Recovery AM and PM, which contains a lot more, including the fish oil capsule. And that helps to balance the whole brain chemistry.
Because people don't realize that the emotional issues, the depression, anxiety, are related to these deficiencies of key nutrients and amino acids that build these neurotransmitters. And that's part of the problem in the first place. We're just deficient. We need to make sure we're replenishing these key nutrients.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. An analogy would be a pond that has rocks in it. And as the pond is drained, and that's the analogy is your brain, and it's drained of nutrients, these rocks stick out. And you don't want to row your boat over it or drive your motorboat over it because you'll get a hole in your boat.
Yeah.
On the other hand, when you fill up this pond with water or with nutrients and neurotransmitters, then the water's above the level of the rocks. And you don't feel the rocks. You don't see them. And your motorboat can go skimming across the surface, and you're fine. You can go water skiing. You're good. So it's the same thing with emotions. When we're low, when our nutrients are low and the rocks or the problems are showing, we think life's really rough and all these terrible things happen in childhood and there are all these conflicts in the office and with relationships. And then you replenish. You replenish the nutrients in your pond, in your brain, and there's no problem. Your past, oh, yeah, well, that's in the past. Your relationships with your spouse, your fellow workers, your kids, they're suddenly, okay, there's no problem. No problem. You know, you hardly even remember that there was a problem. That's the blessing or the curse, I don't know, of human nature. Once a problem like this ends, you tend not to remember how bad it was. So that's the good news, except if they're seeing me and then I say, so how are you doing now? Oh, I'm okay. I said, well, you're better than you were. Yeah, I guess I was. I said, well, when you came in, you were very depressed. You couldn't sleep. You were yelling at your kids. Oh, really? Oh, yeah, I guess I was. So people really forget how bad they were when they first started whatever process they did, whether it's to go on to nutritional supplements and getting off their meds, whatever it is. We have this kind of blessed amnesia for the bad stuff.
It's like childbirth, right?
So well, I would never have another kid.
Right. Thank God for oxytocin. So listen, I want to ask you one thing. When you talked about lowering the dose down from perhaps 40 to 30 to 20, what's the time frame in that reduction of dosage?
I'd say it's probably a couple of months. I wouldn't do it quickly. Some people want to do it quickly because they're just impatient and it actually works for them to do it more quickly. But I like to err on side of caution.
Right.
And do it, say, over a couple of months.
So
some people, it's even longer.
So that's an important point. People need to be patient. And is it the longer you're on them, the longer it may take to wean off of them totally?
Yeah, theoretically that's point. That's not always so, but your brain does get into a certain homeostasis, a certain level of balance or imbalance, as it were, but it's such that you need to very gradually shift things, and you shift them faster with the nutrients.
Right.
So if somebody is withdrawing from an SSRI and they're taking the Brain Recovery AM and PM, often, you know, 6 weeks will do it, and sometimes even less.
So we need to have the right nutrients, and I guess what we should talk about for people who are experiencing depression, and maybe we should just cover some of the symptoms that are associated with depression. Often those symptoms are missed as depression, so we can cover some of the symptoms that are recognized as depression, and then look at what we can do to nutritionally fill up our pond, so we can support the neurotransmitters functioning optimally, those brain chemicals, and heal the symptoms of depression naturally.
Absolutely. And depression doesn't always show up as people being, you know, crying all the time. That's one symptom. But it's withdrawing. It's feeling tired, having trouble getting up in the morning, not wanting to socialize, not enjoying the things that you used to enjoy, being negative about life, being pessimistic, and in the worst case, feeling suicidal. Now, what's interesting, that's sort of the broad view of depression, that a lot of these symptoms are also low thyroid symptoms. And mm-hmm. I've had patients diagnosed with that whole array of symptoms. Oh, yeah, weight gain as well. And overeating also could be a loss of appetite. But I've had people with that whole array of symptoms, and what was really going on was they were low thyroid, and once I checked their thyroid and then put them on some thyroid medication, because that's something else I'm doing, even though I'm a psychiatrist and it's not my original field of training. I did go to medical school, and I didn't know how to prescribe. So I put these people on a natural form of thyroid, desiccated thyroid, but it is by prescription, and their depression goes away so that they don't need to be on specific antidepressants, which I wouldn't put them on anyway, but even the nutritional supplements are going to be a little different because, in fact, it was their thyroid that needed the attention.
And that's such
a
good point.
It's really a medical issue.
Yeah, you know, we need to understand that there are underlying issues going on that are emerging, and we often forget that anxiety, depression, or lack of enthusiasm for life or fatigue or whatever, they're symptoms. They're symptoms of underlying imbalance, just like you have, you know, aches and pains in your joints as a symptom. So are our moods and outlook to life and how we manage life. And we need to get back to the root cause issues and the deficiencies, imbalances, what's going on, so we can heal at that root cause level.
Yeah, absolutely. The point is that depression isn't, quote, a condition. It's more of a symptom of a lack of balance. Where is the lack of balance? It could be an emotional issue. I mean, there are such things as emotional problems, and often they're related to post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, and you don't have to have been in a war or been robbed or raped or anything really traumatic at the time for something to cause PTSD. For example, children who are just generally yelled at or mistreated as they grow up, they may not remember any, like, one incident, but just sort of this ongoing being put down, and it could be by sibs, too, not necessarily parents, and it could be by other family members, but whatever it is, this cumulative trauma can actually make a difference in their brain and in their emotions. So growing up, they then, once they're grown up, they can have symptoms like depression, anxiety, panic attacks, and so on, and then really related to this post-traumatic stress disorder, that when you treat that, and there are some fairly fast therapies for PTSD, the symptoms go away, and again, they don't need to be treated with medication.
So this is such a great conversation. I think maybe this is a good time to take a break, and when we come back, I'd like us to explore some of the underlying issues that could generate depression and some of the natural options and natural formulations, supplements that can help people who might be noticing they have some of these issues. Okay. Oh. Let's take a break. And we'll be right back. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. We're talking to Dr. Hyla Kass. And don't go away, because we have a really profound conversation happening here. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. You're listening to What Women Must Know. And today we are talking about the addicted brain and how to break free with Dr. Hyla Kass, who is a board-certified psychiatrist and integrative medicine practitioner. So this is such an important conversation. I'm so grateful that we're able to have this time with Dr. Kass, because we need to understand more about what is really of concern to me, which are the risks associated with many of these psychiatric prescription drugs like antidepressants. So, Hyla, we're talking a lot in the first half of the show about many of the risks and associated issues with SSRIs or antidepressants. Can you just share some of the things that we need to know so we can boost our neurotransmitter production and help us alleviate some of the symptoms associated with what we call depression.
Well, first of all, we have these neurotransmitters, these chemical messengers in our brain that help us to feel good. They send the feel-good message, and that's actually what the drugs are aimed at helping with. But we can do that naturally and actually do it better, because when we're having a symptom of depression, it's generally an indication that we're low in these neurotransmitters. So, for example, if you have a kind of a depression, you're just not feeling right, but you're having, along with it, anxiety and trouble sleeping, and it's kind of an activated depression, just anxious, irritable, just don't feel right, tend to overeat, and as I said, you have trouble sleeping, that's usually a serotonin deficiency. And so you would be taking something like 5-HTP or L-tryptophan. Those are relatives. The tryptophan turns into 5-HTP, and you take that along with some B vitamins, and that helps your brain to make the serotonin that you need. Now, if you're, on the other hand, if you have a depression where you're feeling you can't get up, you can't really do very much, you're feeling withdrawn and quiet, you're not motivated, things don't excite you, you're having trouble focusing, that is generally a deficiency in dopamine. And dopamine is the motivating antidepressant molecule or neurotransmitter. So if you want to have more focus and a better mood and feel uplifted, you want to take a dopamine precursor like tyrosine or phenylalanine. And I put both of them in my brain recovery AM and PM because for people who don't want to go on antidepressants and they're not sure which one they're going to need, if they were going to be prescribed one, that is, which neurotransmitter is likely to be low. It's a mixture in brain recovery. In the AM packet, we have the dopamine enhancer, which is tyrosine and phenylalanine, and that will make you more motivated, which is a good thing to do in the morning. And then the evening packet has the 5-HTP, 5-hydroxytryptophan, which is the more calming neurotransmitter precursor, the raw material that makes the raw material that makes the neurotransmitter serotonin. So, and through all of this, we have other issues. I mean, people are often overeating, like nibbling all day. They're driven to eating carbs. They may be even driven to drinking alcohol, which is a very similar, it's on the same continuum as eating sugar. Very, very common, some common pathways there. And in that case, a really good amino acid to take is glutamine. So if you're having cravings, cravings for sugar, cravings for alcohol, take some glutamine. Take a capsule of glutamine, empty it under your tongue, a 500 milligram or 1,000 milligram glutamine capsule, empty it under your tongue, and that will actually stop the craving. And I have that. I have the 500 milligram, one in the AM and one in the PM, to help stop those cravings. But if you want to do it instantly, get separate glutamine and put it under your tongue. So we have these really good ways to deal with not only mood issues, but addictive issues, and there's a continuum too, because mood problems and addiction go hand in hand. And the reason why people become addicted is because they're looking for substances that help them feel good. You know, that's just human nature. We want to feel good. So if people feel uptight, they'll have a drink. If they're feeling they need some stimulation, they're just like really blah, they may turn to cocaine. And then, you know, what happens with certain people, and not everyone who uses substances becomes addicted, even heroin. People do not necessarily all become addicted, but people who have certain deficiencies are vulnerable to addiction. And it runs in families because there's a genetic predisposition. But you don't have to live out your genes. You know, you have a predisposition, but we have nutritional supplements that we can use that will actually help your genes to work more efficiently and effectively. It'll turn off the bad genes, turn on the good genes by doing the right thing for your particular brain and body.
Let's move over to minor tranquilizers. So this is Xanax, Valium. You know, these are commonly prescribed all too often, in my experience. And people don't understand what they're getting themselves into when they start taking these, minor tranquilizer, definitely a misnomer, minor, and can find themselves really addicted and don't understand the withdrawal process that they're going through all the time. So can we talk about that for a little bit, Hyla?
Yeah, this is serious. What the benzodiazepines, that's the class of drugs that you're talking about, the Valium, Ativan, Xanax, what they do is enhance GABA. And GABA is gamma-aminobutyric acid. It's the neurotransmitter, which also comes as an amino acid. But GABA is something that helps to balance your brain. It smooths it out. Because let's say you had dopamine, that motivator, that accelerator, going all the time, you need something to balance it. So this beautiful orchestra that we have in ourselves, in our brain, in our bodies, in our whole nervous system, this orchestra actually balances itself. So if you're going too high on the dopamine, along comes GABA and pulls you back. It actually rebalances the neural receptors so that you're in tune, in balance, and not going off too high, or in other cases, too low. So that's GABA, that's the balancer. And when you don't have that balancer going, you can become highly anxious and feeling really awful. And, of course, taking a Xanax or a Valium is going to chill you out. You're going to feel better, or having a drink of alcohol. However, it's a really slippery slope because these benzos become addictive very quickly. And not only are you addicted to them, they stop working. They actually are not doing the job they were supposed to do, but you also can't get off of them. So that's kind of having the worst of both worlds. They're not really working for you. And if you try to go off, you get even more anxious. When we talked earlier about having the withdrawal from the SSRIs, it's the same thing with the benzos, and perhaps even worse. So there's a solution. The good news is there's a solution. One is don't use them. Two, if you do use them, and occasionally, like when people are in the hospital, and it's pretty hard to sleep in the hospital, I tell people to listen to meditative tapes. I think there are many things you can do. But for people who don't want to do that, if they take, say, a benzo for a few nights while they're in the hospital, it's okay. Or if you have some acute issue, take it for no more than a few days, at max a week, because otherwise you get into the whole addictive process. And I say even from the get-go, just take some GABA-type amino acids and herbs, and you can get a wonderful result with kava, with GABA, with theanine, glycine, all of these calming precursors, these calming amino acids and herbs. And actually in The Addicted Brain and How to Break Free, I actually explain how to distinguish what your particular addiction is due to, what the issue is, what the depletion is, and then how to replete, what to take. By the way, I also have something else that people really appreciate, and that is it's a free handout called Reclaim Your Brain that people can get by going to my website, castmd.com. You put in your name and your email address. You, by return email, get this free ebook called Reclaim Your Brain, which describes all of these neurotransmitters and how they work, what amino acids you need to make them. For example, with the benzos, you want to take something that has GABA, glycine, theanine, and so on. That'll replace it, that'll cause your brain to make more GABA rather than just, kind of fooling it with a benzo that then backfires.
You know, that's a great suggestion. I'm just going to spell your website so people are sure to get there, and that's CASSMD.com for CAS, Hyla CAS, CASSMD.com. So that's a fantastic resource, Hyla, and I hope people go up there and download it, because that's the kind of information that really helps people find the solutions that they're looking for, the natural solutions. The thing that I have realized, because when I was a psychotherapist way back, I had many people who had been on Valium, that time for decades. And they had no idea why they had ongoing insomnia, depression, low self-esteem, aches and pains, you know, tension in their necks. And what they didn't realize and what I learned from them was that they were going through continual withdrawal because those drugs only work to the degree that you keep upping the dose, like heroin. And if you stay at the same dose, you're going through this continual withdrawal process, which has all those symptoms, which makes people think they need the drug because they're suffering from symptoms that they assume are indicators that they have a problem and their drug will help heal.
Well, isn't this interesting? So the supplement industry has done what the drug dealers have always known. You know, you start someone on a drug and hooked, and there you go.
Yeah, so good. So, and what about weaning off of those benzodiazepines, minor tranquilizers? What's your recommendation?
Again, it's adding in the right amino acids and so on. I have a product called Calm or Calm Natural Mind. There is a Calm on the market that's magnesium, which is wonderful. It's a powder that you can take, particularly at bedtime, for helping you to sleep and for leg cramps. Some people get leg cramps at night, so I find that that's a good one. But that's not my Calm. That's Calm in a kind of a canister, and it's a powder. My Calm is called Calm Natural Mind on my website, and it contains what are called GABAergic nutrients. It is nutrients that help to make GABA, that help to replace the benzo. And in these cases, you have to go pretty slowly in withdrawing from benzodiazepine. It may take you, again, a couple of months, and you gradually cut it down. And at the last bit, you may actually need to turn to a liquid and do it that slowly. I've had people have to go down to a tiny, tiny little drop of whatever it was because they get so, even that tiny amount, it's not even placebo. I think it's real that they have, the brain is so addicted that you have to be very careful and go very slowly. But it does help, again, to take Calm. And I always say take fish oil as well in any kind of withdrawal. And actually anybody with a brain should be taking fish oil because fish oil helps make the brain cell. And where would we be without our brain cell wall? Because in the brain cell wall is where the fat in your brain, because we are fat heads. Our brain cells are made out of 70% fat. And if we're not nourishing it with the right fats, for example, from salmon and mackerel and other fatty fish, which we were meant to do, it's important to, if we're not eating that, then to take it in the form of fish oil capsules.
Well, good advice, Tyla. And, you know, people just need to be aware. I've had people shave off bits of their minor tranquilizers because that they just need to reduce it so slowly. Otherwise, they go through withdrawal. So, but it's always adding those supplements in. It's always adding that support for the brain. That's just a critical piece of that message you're giving today. So in the time we have, can we talk about alcohol and tobacco withdrawal and how we can effectively and safely and successfully withdraw off of alcohol and tobacco? Those are really challenging ones as well.
Yeah, what I do is I put people on a good multivitamin that has really everything, you know, all the nutrients that are needed to make the neurotransmitters to help them get off of the drug or off of the alcohol or tobacco. And then on top of that, with alcohol, you have to be very careful about blood sugar. Make sure you're maintaining your blood sugar with a proper diet. And by the way, we're talking about supplements here, but the bottom, you know, the base here is food and nutrition. You have to make sure you're eating a good, healthy diet, organic foods whenever possible, drink enough fluids for sure, 8 glasses of water a day and so on. And that just forms the basis for our chemistry. You know, we won't have a good chemistry set going if we don't supply the raw materials.
Right.
So we do that. And with alcohol, watch your blood sugar. Glutamine is very useful. There's an herb called kudzu, K-U-D-Z-U, that has been shown to be useful in treating alcoholism. I find that, again, when people are taking my brain recovery packets, it just helps because you don't know exactly what you're deficient in unless you're doing testing. Now, I do some pretty extensive testing, but even before I do the testing, for most people, I'll just start them on my brain recovery AM and PM, and it's what's funny is I get the tests back, and I don't give that to absolutely everyone. I mean, there's some people for whom I think I need to go a little slower, a little easier, or I just need something else. But what I'll do for any addiction, even for alcohol and tobacco, give the brain recovery, and then when I get the testing back, and, you know, it can look like a fairly complicated case, whatever, it turns out that what they need is really what was in the brain recovery. So I had formulated it. I formulated the brain recovery very carefully so that I was covering a lot of bases and also not too much of any one thing so that it really can work across the board. Because you might ask, well, then how can somebody who's an alcoholic be using the same thing as somebody who's on cocaine? But there's enough of each of the neurotransmitter precursors that will take you where you need to go, and then I will use my clinical judgment, or if you read Reclaim Your Brain or The Addicted Brain and How to Break Free, if you want real specifics, then you'll know what the extras are to add. So I'll add extra niacin or niacinamide with the tobacco people, and I'll add extra glutamine with the alcohol people, and you just kind of fine-tune the package. And then particularly in people who have been on medication for a really long time or people who are, say, over 40, I'll add in my brain cell support plus because we need brain cell support.
Yeah,
our brains are just so assaulted and deficient, and we need that brain cell to be functioning on all cylinders. It needs to have all the ingredients in that cell. It needs to have enough phosphatidylcholine and phosphatidylserine. It needs to have enough essential fatty acids. It needs ginkgo, vinpocetine, huperzine, all of that to help make the brain cell and the neurotransmitters activated. So the brain cell support plus is like the brain cell activator that you use in conjunction with the brain recovery. So I thought about this very carefully. You know, I formulated this over many years. I've been in practice for over 25 years and really have experimented with a lot of different products, treating a lot of different patients, and have come to some basics that I know are true across the board, and then I will fine-tune for the individual. And you can fine-tune also. You know, you people out there, you can fine-tune. Look at Reclaim Your Brain, which is a freebie. Look at The Addicted Brain and How to Break Free, and you'll see how you fit in and what you need for your particular issues. And you don't have to be, you know, a drop-down addict. It could be just a propensity, like, oh, gee, I really like to have a few drinks, and, oh, I really like to, you know, whatever it is, you know, smoke cigarettes. It's a message. It's a symptom of what your brain chemistry is lacking. So when I'm seeing somebody, when I'm evaluating them for the first time and asking them, so what are the things that you tend to crave and, you know, go for, and they look a little embarrassed, and I say, don't, you know, I'm just getting information. If it's sugar, I know that you have a blood sugar issue. If it's alcohol, you know, I know where to go with that. I know where the deficiencies are likely to be. They're likely to be in the B vitamins, okay? You're likely to need some glutamine. If it's cocaine, you have a dopamine issue, so we need to give you more tyrosine and more phenylalanine. If you tend to overeat, you probably need dopamine enhancers, which are tyrosine and phenylalanine, and serotonin enhancers, which is tryptophan and 5-HTP, which is found in the brain recovery AM and PM. So, you see, I kind of have a system at this point because, you know, I can't see everyone. And so I write my books and I talk to people like you, and I love that I have this opportunity to do this because I want to reach a lot of people. We have to, you and I have to reach as many people as possible and let them know that drugs are not the answer.
And, you know, when you have an understanding such as you were, you know, explaining today, you have a roadmap, so you know the things that need to be addressed, and you can find the answers that you're looking for, which will never be found in a medication, and there are just so many risks associated if you go that route. Hilo, we only have a few minutes left, and I know we talked before the show that you offer a service for people looking for conscious, aware practitioners, psychiatrists. Do you want to mention that a little bit?
Sure. This is kind of an accidental byproduct of being in practice, and that is that I get emails from people all over the world saying, I want to come see you. You know, they hear me on the radio, they read my books, I want to come see you. And I say, wait, let's see if we can find someone in your area that would be appropriate for you. And what I do is I work with them. I may actually have them fill out a questionnaire, which would be the one that they would do if they were to see me. And sometimes I can just tell them, you know what, all you really need is, you know, take some brain recovery AM and PM or take some 5-HTP, and you have a fairly simple answer there, or maybe they need some hormonal help, in which case they can just have their local doctor do that. Or it's more sophisticated, and I help them find someone, either someone I know, or I will actually vet docs in their area. I will go online and see what organizations they belong to, and I have my ways of finding out who's good and who isn't. I've been around for a long time. I've spoken at a lot of conferences and have met a lot of the fellow speakers along the way. So what I do is I do offer this service, which is similar to my treating service, except it's a consulting service, helping you find the help that you need, because it's so intimidating for someone. You know, you don't want to go to a regular psychiatrist because you're going to be put on drugs. Your family practitioner doesn't really understand any of this and will put you on drugs. So how do you find just the right one for you? So that's where I come in, and I'm always happy to help people with this service. And there is a charge for it. You know, I initially would do it for free, but it's not a good idea because I don't have time to do it for free anymore. So I will evaluate and give and really prevent a lot of misery,
right.
Let me tell you. I mean, people have been through the mill, and by the time they're emailing me, they've had it. They've been up, down, and around. They're having side effects. Or they have something that no one's been able to diagnose and treat. And it's quite a relief when they finally get someone. I had somebody from Kenya recently, somebody from Dubai, somebody from Egypt. I mean, really all over, including all over the U.S. So, and I don't want people coming to see me. I don't think that's necessary. I think we can usually find someone right in your area or close enough, you know, within an hour or two drive.
And
That's my latest.
Oh, so that's a wonderful service, Hyla, and they just need to go to CastMD.com to get more information about that?
Yeah, and I don't even have that down there. I have some information about my practice, but if they send an email, I can send them the information.
Okay, excellent.
So it's just what I do. And also check out my books. I have my 8 weeks book, 8 weeks to Vibrant Health, and I also have an 8 weeks program where you actually can download the CDs and listen to 8 different weeks of my parts of my 8 weeks to Vibrant Health book about how to really redo your health. So lots of things.
So I just want to say to you, Hyla, thank you for making so many of these resources available for people, and you know, continuing to educate and empower people on restoring optimal health, optimal brain function. It's not that difficult. We just need to have the roadmap, and you're offering that roadmap, Hyla. So thank you so much for the great work you're doing. We've come to the end of the show. It's been so informative, and I want to encourage everyone to visit Hyla's website, which is castmd.com. Get her a downloadable ebook. Check out her book, which is The Addicted Brain and How to Break Free, and also Natural Highs. Hyla, it's been a pleasure having you on the show today. Thank you for all the wonderful work you are doing.
Oh, this was such a pleasure, and thank you for what you've been doing for years and years. I just so appreciate what you do.
Thank you, Hyla. And to all of you listening, thank you for joining me today for another opportunity to learn what we all must know to keep our brains happy, balanced, and well-nourished. Until next time, always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.